There's a phrase that gets repeated at my house more often all the time. Carla and I say it to each other now, I don't know, every day. What did you say? Now, you know, it could be that that's a hearing problem. It's more likely a listening problem. But there's a way to say that. What did you say? There's a way to say that that's an honest sort of inquiry, right? You're trying to find clarification or repeat it. I missed it. There's also a way to say that like, what did you say? You know, say it like a challenge, like, come on, make my day. You could also say it, what did you say? There are different ways to say that. There are different ways to hear that. What did you say? It was Pentecost. It's an odd little holiday in the cycle of things for the Jewish people. They'd all gathered in Jerusalem. There were people from all over the world. You look at a map and they're just spread everywhere, these exotic places. Pamphylia and Phrygia, the Parthians, the Medes, the residents of Pontus and Asia. It's fun to pronounce all of that. I was listening to Dana do it, and I kind of had a bet to see if, you know, he would make it through the list. But an extraordinary and fantastic sort of episode plays out because they were, well, in effect, they were hiding. And suddenly there was this amazing sound. There was wind and fire. I wonder if it looked a little bit like it does here on Christmas Eve with little points of light distributed among each one. And that's when the racket started, when the buzz and the murmur and the words and the strangeness. What were they talking about? A miracle and a spectacle, this kind of sneak peek into the world of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know, was it a miracle of speaking or was it a miracle of hearing? Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these Galileans? How then is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. What did you say? There was a guy who, on a long trip, in his car driving across the country, and he needed some caffeine, so he stopped at the cafe and walks inside after being lonely for hours and orders up some coffee. And he wants to engage someone in conversation, so he says, you know, it looks like rain. And the wait person was kind of peeved and said, look, pal, I don't know what else it looks like, but this is the only coffee we have. That's not what I meant. She was busy with her young kids at home, but she knew somebody ought to check on Mrs. Olson next door. She was elderly and had been through an illness, and she felt more and more exhausted, but knew somebody should go over there. So she sent her 6-year-old son, Johnny, to go over and, you know, go see old Mrs. Olson. And, well, 2 minutes later, Johnny came back and he told his mom, Mrs. Olson says it's none of your business how old she is. You know, no, that's not what I meant. Pastor Inkvest was serving a rural congregation in North Dakota. And they were way out there in the boonies. And it was winter time, and they realized that the Christmas holiday was coming, so it wouldn't be important to extend a welcome to all those who might drive by. So she found a volunteer to drive into Fargo to see if she could get a sign. She handed him a purchase order that had there on scribed the actual text of the message and the dimensions of the sign that they needed. But somewhere between the church and Fargo, the volunteer lost the purchase order. And so gets there and he texts back to Pastor Inkvest, please let us know what the motto and the dimensions are. Then the guy at the sign shop almost fainted when the volunteer showed him the reply on the little screen. Unto us a child is born, 8 feet long and 3 feet wide. No, that's not what I meant. What did you say? What did you say? In our own languages, we hear them speaking of God's deeds of power. When our kids were younger, one of our favorite games in the world was, well, when we played in the car. Glacier National Park, the most amazing place on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. We'd get there, and what was the game? You've played it. You look at the license plates, right? You get there, and you see Idaho and California, Nevada and Michigan and New York, Texas. And then, you know, you start to look at the bumper stickers, too, and there's one that, you know, always somebody has sea lion caves in Oregon. My other car is a Ferrari. Keep honking, I'm reloading. But even more, when you park in that lot just below Logan's Pass, then what? Then you start hiking up to the ridge. Then you hear it. That's when you hear all these languages and tongues. There's Spanish and Ukrainian, Arabic and German, languages and tongues that we could not figure out. I wanted to ask, but Carla would say, oh, that's impolite. But a wild and wonderful mix, a variety and diversity of sounds and dress and skin, old and young, ones with fancy clothes and those with ragged t-shirts, all below this awesome landscape. Were they speaking of God's deeds of power? Luke is the writer of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And he's, of course, not only describing from probably eyewitness reports, not only describing events of that ancient Pentecost day, the fire and the wind, the sound and the language. I think Luke may be up to more than that. After all, Luke understands historical context. He's not happening in a vacuum. He's not somehow oblivious or removed from the political and economic and religious conditions and realities of the time. No, Luke's pretty sharp. Luke knows his history. He knew the powers of his day. They used to call it Pax Romana, right? Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Ironic, huh? The empire's way, a way that they had learned from the Babylonians and the Assyrians. The empire's rule depended on a kind of enforced unity. It was a pseudo-unity, one based on threat. The Romans knew. They knew how to keep watch over things. If they could just keep these diverse yet occupied tribes and ethnic communities separate and distinct, just keep them apart, then they could control them. It was a unity won by fear, anxiety of those who were different, a unity supported by hatred and suspicion of those who dressed differently or looked differently or sounded differently, right? They had a playbook. They knew. Whatever you do, make sure they blame the alien. Whatever you do, make sure they see the other as the problem. Just watch out for the outsider, because they're the ones who will take your things. Pentecost is not only a vivid and awesome spiritual experience, it's a subversive one, right? Proclamation calculated not to appeal to people to stay in their own little tribes, but to announce the presence of God everywhere and in everyone. God was crossing the lines. God was violating the barriers and blurring the distinctions. Luke wrote it this way, "In the last days it will be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on who? All flesh. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," maybe Amelia and Tayton, "that your young men shall see visions and your old men dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit." What did you say? Perhaps we should listen. Amen.